Talk live with psychics online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. We have a great subject tonight about love, the journey of risk and sacrifice. That's a heavy topic. We've all been in love. We've all fallen out of love or loved someone and they didn't love you or whatever. But tonight I have Stars Maya Moon and Stars Nicole that will discuss the topic. And Maya, I'm going to take it right over to you.
Okay, thanks, Natalie. And poor Natalie, we all love Natalie, and she's suffering with a sore throat, so she has to keep her talking down to a minimum. So first and foremost, this is Maya. Welcome, everyone. If this is your first time joining us, this is actually a subject, as Natalie pointed out, that really touches everyone's lives at one point or another, and it's very relevant to a lot of what's going on today in the world. And there's so much information that when we visited myself, Natalie, who is the also known as StarsCast, and she's the owner, founder, and CEO of Stars Psychics, and that Stars with a Z, and all the affiliates of Stars, and Stars Nicole, who's also joining us this evening, and then we have the chat room, and we have Candy, who has helped immensely and always does a lot of the sending out the messages and the advertising. So when we visited at the beginning of the show, one thing we discussed and decided on is that because this is such a relevant subject and because there's so much branching out from this, that we're going to go ahead and make this a two-part series. So it's really important that you know that so that you don't feel like we've left you hanging without answers or without some insider guidance or additional help. So just know that rather than try to rush and skip over important parts or touch on aspects that we feel, you know, are personally important to us or how we see this and how this reflects on life and relationships, we will be returning again next week, same time, same bat channel, as they say. And we'll be finalizing things and finishing up. So that gives everyone, especially myself at any rate, a little bit of feeling of relaxation that I don't feel that I have to impart everything that my guides share. So, again, welcome. If you've been an avid listener, we're very pleased to have you. We would not have a show without listeners. And anyone who's missed prior shows, who's just joining us this evening, if you go to Star Psychics homepage, you will find Star's Blog Talk, and everything is our shows are live, but everything's also recorded. So you can go back and thumb through shows that you feel are of interest to you, and there's a variety of venues to listen. So now that I've got that little speech out of the way, so the topic is love, the journey of risk and sacrifice. And while we're probably going to be focusing just a little bit more on romantic love, and that is irrelevant of our sexual preference, you know, we have love. When it comes to love, whether it's family and friends or most especially it's true with romantic love or life partners, soulmates, relationships, et cetera, there's always risk and sacrifice. We simply cannot, it's impossible to enter into a relationship, again, focusing or specifically towards that of the romantic. It's just really impossible to enter into a relationship without there being an element of risk and sacrifice. And sacrifice would be seen, at least that's how my guides would impart it and how I would share it with you. And these are just my views. I don't necessarily, you know, mean that that's the entire truth or the only way, of course, of looking at something. But sacrifice is similar to compromise. It is the giving of something for the betterment of the relationship or for the greater good of the relationship or the person. So I'm going to start out by saying that we have two sides. We have the acceptance that there's always going to be risk. You know, we can marry someone, we can make a commitment, and we can follow through with that and be happy and in harmony for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. There again, because we are changing and the world is changing, we have to accept, like a client might come to me and want a guarantee. This person, this is it for life, right? They're never going to leave me. We're always going to be in love. I mean, that's just not something that's possible to do. And in many ways, it's not possible for us to say that within ourselves to another human being. We can make a choice and a decision that we're going to perhaps stay with someone. But I mean, there's always some risk, and there's always going to be sacrifices needed to be made that serve the relationship. Okay, so then on the other side, we have the other side, which is where we start to become involved in obsessive-type behaviors and in patterns, and one of those that we'll be speaking about periodically through this topic is people that are involved in abusive relationships, whether it's physical abuse or mental abuse, emotional abuse. And while we tend to think of abuse as being a male towards a female, it can be the opposite. It can be elder abuse. It can be child abuse. So abuse does enter in, and that's all a part of that other side of the risk and sacrifice, where the way that my guides have explained it and taught me to see that is that's when the flow or the balance of sacrificing for the greater good becomes more of a manipulation. Either we're either enabling a behavior because of various reasons, and Nicole had some good ideas, and so I don't want to go there. I want to give her a chance to share some key points that she had on this. So we have some different sides and different ways of looking at this, and some are very healthy and are attuned and into in alignment with the way that relationships really do need to be and how we need to be giving. But then we also have an element that can interfere with our own well-being, whether that's spiritual, emotional, physical, etc. So I think that's enough yammering for me, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Nicole.
Oh, well, thank you, Maya. And I agreed quite a lot with much of what you had to say. I also want to thank everybody for listening this evening. We appreciate you being here. You know, the overwhelming thing that I was getting as you were talking, Maya, is that sometimes in relationships, you know, there's always going to be those ups and downs. You know, there's always going to be that issue of sacrifice and compromise in order to help the relationship move forward. But I think that huge problems arise when we don't know who we are. You know, and when we're coming from a place of expecting a relationship to make our lives complete, expecting one person to be our savior, expecting one person to be our confidant and to be perfect, I think when we put people on that level of a pedestal, they can't help but let us down because no one is perfect, you know. And one of the things that I always get when I pray is that rather than looking for that one person to complete your life or give your life meaning, create a full life and think about inviting someone into your world. Because when you have a full life and you're inviting someone into your world, it isn't like you're asking a person to rescue you or be your savior. I think that sometimes issues and problems arise when we make people our God, when we make anything our God, when we make money our God, or children our God, or a career our God, or a partner our God and our savior. Then ultimately what ends up happening is they're going to let us down, because everyone on this planet has a particular set of goals and dreams, and they have a mission. And sometimes that mission may involve aligning with us, and sometimes that mission may involve breaking apart from us. So one of the things that I kind of feel is important to consider, and maybe I would impress upon people, is think about the life that you want to have. Think about what is most important to you and what brings you joy, not necessarily aligning with another person who's going to make your life complete, but as it is right now, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? How do you want to live? And get to the business of creating that. Because when you get to the business of creating that, you get filled with joy, you get filled with excitement, and it kind of brings people into your world, as opposed to feeling like I need to align with somebody to rescue me or give my life a sense of completion. You know, that's what I was seeing. What do you think of that, Maya?
Well, I mean, you had mentioned that, and I really did definitely resonate with that as far as basically everything that you said, but going back to the knowing yourself, and you made some really key points where I feel that the majority of people that get off on the wrong track, so to speak, it's because they are, in effect, idolizing and placing their happiness or their potential for happiness on one person. And if we look at universal law, I mean, there's some interpretation to universal law, but I mean, universal law teaches us that you have in a relationship, you have two people, romantic or otherwise, but the happiness, the balance, the chaos, anything good, positive or negative, doesn't actually come from the person, even though as humans we tend to place that burden upon the person. Actually, it's the relationship that brings the happiness. So it's all the more important that what you said, Nicole, is true, that we take a step back and first we have to know and like ourselves, because if we don't enjoy our own company, then chances are we're not going to find someone to enjoy our company. If we can't be alone with ourselves for 5 minutes without going nuts and needing someone, then we need to deal with what's going on there before we can find someone to be happy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Maya. I think that that's a really important and integral point of all of it, is that I think before aligning with someone else, it's just like what you just said, you have to be at peace in your own company. You know, and I think that sometimes another issue, too, is that we may be looking for a relationship to fulfill our insecurities. You know, maybe
right.
We have insecurities about our ability to make money. So we're looking for a partner that makes more than us, you know, so that can deal with our financial insecurity. Maybe we have some insecurities about the way we look. So we're going for a particular partner to validate us. And so I think that sometimes, you know, that's the challenge of being alone, is that you're alone with your thoughts, you're alone with your spirit, you're alone with the parts of you that maybe you don't want to look at. But I actually sense, and one of the things I found, not just in romantic partnerships, but friendships, the people that truly love us will not just love us in spite of our insecurities and our issues. In some cases, they may love us because of that. You know, and I mean, they could see our beauty, they could see what we perceive to be our flaws, but they accept us for who and what we are. I think the challenge was, first, we have to just accept ourselves and just name and own whatever our insecurities are. And that's perfectly okay. It's my insecurity, that's fine. I name it, I own it. Once I name it, it no longer has control or power over me. And I could still move forward and have a great relationship and have a great life in spite of some of the issues that maybe I'm worried about and working through. Because I also think another thing is that, like, we don't have to be fully perfected in order to be in a loving and committed partnership. But I do sense that we have to, at least on some level, be at peace with ourselves and not necessarily be in turmoil over ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I would definitely agree with that. And so we have to, I think we have to, you know, take stock of what our intentions are and, you know, where we're at and what we need, and to be able to embrace that perhaps the needs that we have are something that we're going to need to figure out and meet within our own self, and then we would be seeking, or we would be happing upon perhaps a soulmate or a life partner that can harmonize with us. And the goal of it all would be that we're each making ourselves better people. That, for example, I'm not going out and finding someone that can fix me, just as I shouldn't be going out and finding someone that I think that I can fix. So it's more, and for a lot of people, I really feel like I have a private client, and whenever I bring up a client, they have always given me permission to share the basics of their story. I mean, no, they wouldn't want me to give out their name and phone number.
Right.
I would never do that. But, you know, and we were talking about accountability, and, you know, we can take this too, not just in relationships that are already existing, but when we look at, and I'm curious to see how you feel and see this, but when we're trying very hard to develop. So I have this private client, and she's trying very hard to develop a relationship with this person, and she is continually making these sacrifices, and then the other person is not really in harmony, not making any sacrifices, not taking any of the risks. And so it's gotten to the point where it's become quite obsessive, because in her mind, the more, and it is a female, the client, and it happens to be a male that she is pursuing. But in her mind, the way that she is seeing this is that the more sacrifices she makes, the more benefits that she's going to ultimately reap, because there's some accountability factor. I have a slight little issue. Can you go ahead and take over real quick for a minute, Nicole? And I'll be right back with you. Okay,
sure,
thank
I
you.
Will. Sure, I will, Maya. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for being here and sharing your light with us. As I was listening to Maya's story about the client and feeling as if she can just prove that she's good enough and beautiful enough and smart enough and makes enough sacrifices, this man is going to see it and he's going to make her his wife. You know, here's the thing. People see us all the time. You know, they see our beauty, they see our strength, they see our insecurities, they see the sacrifices that we are making. They see us. But if a situation, if it's not right, if we're not spiritually or emotionally compatible with someone, then we're just not. You know, and that's the truth of the situation. And one of the things that I've learned from my personal experiences, I've seen in the lives of many clients and many people I love and care about, you know, you can't force someone to see your value. A lot of times people may see you're a good person, they may see you're a good woman, they may see you're a good man, but they're not emotionally, mentally, or spiritually prepared to step up to the plate for you. And I think when it comes to relationships and where they get obsessive, is when we are not paying attention to the behavior. We're not reading the signals. We're not reading the information that a person is giving us. You know, if the person will not communicate with us, if they're not introducing us to their friends and family, if they're disappearing, if they are making it clear that they're dating and seeing other people and they're not really wanting to move into a deeper connection with us, then those are signs and signals that maybe they're just not on the same page as we're on. And I think that a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of turmoil and conflict comes from not paying attention to what's right in front of our faces, you know. It's not to say that relationships don't have their challenges. It's not to say that relationships are not hard and are not difficult. They are and they can be. But if we are trying so hard to force someone to see our value, chances are that's just not the person for us. You know, an interesting story, my parents were married for many, many years before my mother passed away, and they met when they were in their late teens, and they got married in their mid-20s. You know, and one of the things that my dad told me just recently, and I didn't even know this, but he told me that he and my mother, they actually dated for about 5 years before they really decided to take their relationship to the next level and get engaged. And even before that, they were friends. So they really took time to get to know each other, to meet each other's families, to make sure that they were on the same page. And one of the things that he told me is that, you know, long before I came into existence and I was even a thought, they sat down and talked about the type of life they wanted to have. So right then and there, they were kind of on the same page. They had similar goals. They had similar dreams. So, you know, even though they had their ups and downs throughout their relationship, they both wanted a family. That was important to them. They wanted to raise kids. They wanted their children to have a better life than they had. And, you know, they were on the same page. But it took them a long time to get there. And they had their ups and downs, and there were times long before the engagement where they thought they were going to break up and things of that nature. And those are some things that my dad told me and made me aware of. But, you know, what I saw from that relationship and that experience is that love takes time. You know, we may be enamored with someone. We may feel a spark. But sometimes feeling enamored and that spark that we feel, that's more of an initial attraction. It may be your spirit's way of saying this person is going to change your life, but it doesn't necessarily mean this person's going to be your life partner. There may be a lesson. There may be something very important and special that only that person can teach you. And once the lesson is learned, you go your own way. I think that part of the confusion sometimes is that we're moving so fast. And because we feel a physical attraction or because we feel a spark or because we feel a sense of nostalgia when we meet someone, we immediately think they must be the husband, they must be the wife, they must be the life partner. And that's not always necessarily the case. Sometimes we have to take time to get to know people. We have to take time to have conversations and go for walks and get to know their friends and their family before we can determine if we're really on the same page. And I think that sometimes that's what's missing. Sometimes I notice that when I read for lots of people and I've experienced in my own life, sometimes we're moving a little too fast. And when you move a little too fast and you rush things, that's when the miscommunication, that's when the confusion, that's when the emotional ups and downs come into play. The biggest thing that I'm getting from Spirit tonight for a lot of people who are listening is to take your time. Take your time getting to know someone, because I will tell you this, if they're your life partner, you've got a life. So, you know, what's 3 more weeks? What's 3 more months? What's 6 more months of just really moving slowly if you truly are on the same page? The other thing I want to talk a little bit about as well that's coming through is that sometimes, you know, when we're trying to move very fast in a relationship, that may be relating to childhood wounds or things that happened in young adulthood that we haven't really healed. You know, I've read for many people over the years that may have grown up without a father or grown up without a mother or grown up in very dysfunctional environments. And sometimes what we're doing is because we've never taken the time to love ourselves and know ourselves, maybe because we've never taken the time to know what it's like to have a relationship with a man, we're looking for the first man that pays attention to us. Maybe because we've never known what it's like to love and respect a woman. When we get into partnerships with women, we don't know how to love and respect them, so we just use them. Sometimes our wounds in childhood and young adulthood shape the way that we relate to romantic partners. And so I do think a very important question to ask is, you know, if we're moving into things very fast, or if someone has made it very clear that they don't really want to be committed to us, but we're pushing for that, is it possible that we're trying to compensate for a wound in childhood? Is it possible that we're trying to compensate for a wound in young adulthood? Is it possible that we're trying to overcompensate for something that happened in the past? And so it's almost like, well, you know, my dad wasn't around, or my father was a little dismissive, or, you know, the men in my family were really abusive. So if I can convince this man in front of me that I'm good and I'm worthy and I'm beautiful, that will erase all the pain that happened when I was a child. And one of the things that I have found through personal experience, and I've seen it in the lives of many people I care about, it typically does not work that way. You know, your past will follow you, it will find you, and it will keep coming back into your face until you learn the lesson. So a lot of times, and I think this may be the scariest thing for many people, a lot of times what we have to do is we just have to face our pain. We have to face our insecurities. We have to face what bothers us. And one of the things that I would definitely say for people who are listening, if you found yourself in a series of relationships that maybe were abusive or went up and down, or maybe people wouldn't commit to you, sometimes it's about talking to that little girl within, or that little boy within, or that teenager within, and telling them that they are loved. You know, sometimes it's about telling that younger part of yourself that you are smart and you're beautiful and you're worthy of love, and you're not going to let anything bad happen to the little girl or the little boy within you. You know, we have to take care of the little child within us, because a lot of times as adults, if we don't take care of the little child within us, we begin to act out. You know, and we begin to almost have like these adult temper tantrums, you know, where someone says, no, I don't want to be in a committed partnership. And it's not necessarily a rejection of us. It may just be where they're at in their life, you know. And I think that it does say something if we're in a situation where we're constantly attracted to people who may not want to be with us. That's probably a sign that we just need to focus in on ourselves. You know, because if we're attracted to noncommittal people, I would say that what Spirit is trying to tell you is that maybe you're not quite ready for a committed partnership or relationship. Maybe what Spirit is trying to tell you is that noncommittal partners and noncommittal partnerships feel like home to you, because that's what you dealt with in your childhood and young adulthood. Those were the relationships that were mirrored back to you. So, you know, I think we have to take some time for self-discovery. And I think we also have to take some time to also understand that the labels that society puts on marriage and children and family and when those things should happen, I think we have to be a little bit more lenient and a little bit more laxed with that, you know, and understand that you live by your own definition. We're all here for a specific purpose. Some of us are on this planet to be mothers, and we're going to give birth to the next generation. Some of us will give birth in other ways. You know, some of us are on this planet to father these children, and that's a major part of our purpose. And so we must get married and have children. We must connect with a partner, because it's a huge part of our spiritual path and our spiritual progress and growth. But that's not the case for everyone. You know, for someone else, it may be giving birth to a book. It may be giving birth to a piece of art. It may be working as a psychiatrist or a psychic or a psychologist and helping people with their issues and their problems. So understand that, you know, we all have a special purpose. We all have a special path, you know, and for some of us, a committed partnership, that may not be what is for us right now. And, you know, one of the things that always comes through for many clients that I read for is that what is for you will be for you. So look at your life. Pay attention to who comes in. Pay attention to who goes out, because therein lies what is for you, you know. And work your path and walk your path. No one can walk it but you, okay? You know, so that's the major thing that's coming through. But I think Maya is back now. Maya, are you back?
Yes, she is. And I want to interrupt and mention this confidential National Domestic Abuse Help Hotline that here in South Carolina, it's very prevalent here. And Candy wanted to make sure maybe several times. The number is 1-800-799-7233. And, yes, Maya, go ahead. I did disconnect you, I guess. I don't know. One of my top people here. I just disconnect her, throw her off to the side. Anyways, go ahead, take it away. I'll be quiet.
Okay, yes. Sorry, Nicole. I kept trying to come back, and it kept just. I would wait in the queue, and then actually I was on hold, and I kept saying, "Nicole, can you hear me?" And you couldn't hear me, so I tried to redial, and then it kept disconnecting me. So I just wanted to let you know. I apologize for that. It wasn't my intention to be gone, but about 30 seconds.
No, I understand. I understand. I don't know if you heard, but I was just sort of touching on what you were saying about your client and the experience with being attracted to this person who really wasn't on the same page as them. So I kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent, but I was actually talking about
you shared about your parents and their story.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So I'll let you take it over then
That I think is important to point out, and I'm not suggesting that is the case with your parents, but even when we have, for example, Nicole brought up, her parents spend a lot of time getting to know each other. She brought up some great points about meeting the family and, when our family really likes someone or the opposite, I believe that those flags, those are things. However, the earth, just like we don't feel the earth moving, but the earth is constantly moving on the axis, and energy, and we're all energy, we're constantly shifting and changing. So one of the problems that we face when we, no matter how carefully, how much we resonate with a life partner, at one point, internal and external circumstances, whether that's money, job, or career changes, or our personal value systems change, there's a myriad of changes. Those can shift the roles to the point where even though that connection may be there, that compatibility factor no longer exists. So anytime, and of course then we have death, so there's always going to be, whether you've just met someone or you've been married, and again, we have same-sex marriage is legal now in the U.S., and it's regardless, it has nothing to do with sexual orientation at all whatsoever. So regardless of, you could be with a partner for 30 years, and you're still always going to have to accept that there's a risk. And I do believe that's the biggest obstacles that people face is trying to eliminate. So what I always suggest is rather than trying to find ways of eliminating every risk, I wanted to finish about that client. And so this person that she's pursuing and she's making all these sacrifices and making all these offers, it's to the point where it's obsessive and it's actually a way of trying to control and manipulate. And even though she may not be doing it intentionally in a vulgar way or, the intention, she may not be sitting back thinking, if I do this, that's what she's doing. And then she is burdening him by saying, because you did such and such, you led me to believe that this was going to be the outcome. And she's trying to put all this accountability, he owes me this, and this is how I process. And it actually had gotten to a point where quite some time back, he had ended up having her because she would not, she was basically stalking him. Mm-hmm. And, so he alleviated that and blocked all contact. He did slowly allow her to reenter, but she's right back to that same energy. And what, what universal law, I was saying, teaches us is the relationship always must come before the person, which goes back to what you were saying about idolizing someone or something. Whether it's a career, it's money. We don't idolize people. Relationships must be treated as separate entities because it is the relationship that brings the happiness, the harmony, or the chaos. And for many of us, so like with this client, so she's in a state of constant anxiety because she's making sacrifices. They're having no effect. She's trying to manipulate this person by making it their, well, they're responsible to tell me the truth. Yet she's blocking them into a corner. If you block someone, it's like if you were to, you know, go up to someone and, you know, really get, use your body language and say, you think I'm pretty, right? You don't think I'm ugly. Okay, that's, I mean, I know that's kind of a trivial and maybe not the best example, but just to simplify things, most people, even if they thought that person was not that attractive, being faced with that type of predatory type assertive energy, they're more than likely not going to be honest, even if they feel, you know, they're not going to say, well, I don't really feel you're attractive, because the way that you're coming across is there's going to be some consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we can't, other people are not, you know, if we say, well, the only way that I can deal with problems is I have to go over to the point where we're becoming obsessive. I have to go over, I have to understand. And so what that interprets and ends up meaning is asking a million questions. Why did you do this? Why did you look at this girl this way? Why did you do that? Those types of behaviors go all revert right back to exactly what you said, Nicole, in the beginning, and that's not having a strong sense of self. And if we don't have that, it doesn't matter how great that other person may be, and that also I feel just like certain things can lead us, you know, to addiction, that can lead us to abuse. And for those, you know, Candy wanted us to bring this up. I really believe that if you are involved in a seriously abusive relationship, you need to seek, not a psychic, you need to seek professional therapists and counselors and even perhaps the justice system. Because for people who are involved in abusive relationships, that's something that needs to be dealt with very seriously. We read on the news all the time about, and that's why the stalking laws became into effect, both for males and females, because they weren't listening, and they found that these people that were being stalked, in many cases, it ended up in violent outcomes. So for those that, you know, Natalie gave out the phone number, I'm sure she'll give it out again, but I do ask that if you're involved in a relationship where you're fearing for your life or your physical well-being or that of your children, if you have children, you need to take, you know, have courage and faith and take the necessary steps. And I really pray that you're able to do that, because that kind of person is not going to get better by saying I'm sorry. You know, most of us don't become changed people just because we wake up that morning. So those are just some things. So, and my guides are firm believers in that our best gauge is our own self and how we feel about not just ourselves but our life. And again, the relationship. We have to be able to separate the person, because too many times I call it doing a poster child. A man or a woman becomes the poster child. They become that symbolic idolization of everything that love is supposed to encompass or be. And actually, we may come to find that they really carry very few traits that are in alignment with that. We just have that connection to them. And a connection is just a chance. It's just a potential. So a lot of times we can look at where our life is. If our life is filled with constant anxiety and chaos, and we're constantly worrying about what that person is doing, what they're thinking, where they're going, And, you know, not that we don't all need some guidance and insight, and we don't have, I think that spiritual experts are wonderful at guiding us. You know, both Nicole and I, of course, do that. We're wonderful at helping you sort out things, but when it comes right down to it, you need to pay attention to how you feel. And if you're constantly on the edge of your seat, that's a red flag that something's wrong. And if you're constantly, I mean, we can't go hour to hour, day to day and say, well, today I sacrificed, you know, I left work an hour early to spend time with him, and he or she didn't do that for me. We can't, you know, we can't try to balance out day by day or hour by hour. But the overall picture, there should be equality. If equality in the sacrifice is made, unless there's really extenuating circumstances, like they're a resident and, you know, you knew when you signed up for this that the last year they were going to work 80 hours a week. I mean, aside from very extenuating circumstances, if there is not equality in the risk and sacrifice from both persons, then there's not harmony and balance. And if we don't have balance, love, defining that as just an emotion, I don't feel is going to make up for everything else. Do you, Nicole?
Right. I couldn't agree more with what you said, Maya. And the other thing that also came through as well is that love doesn't keep score. So if you are keeping score, like I did this for you, now you have to do this for me, that's not a loving act. It's just what you said. It's a need to manipulate and control. So yes, I absolutely agree with you. And another thing to touch on, I touched on this when you were away for a break. Some of these issues that we have with the communication, a lot of it is rooted in childhood for a lot of people. You know, a lot of folks have gotten mixed messages about what healthy relationships should look like or what relationships should be like. And because no one has really sat down with them, or maybe we haven't gotten positive examples of what these relationships look like, when we come into adulthood, you know, we may be ill-equipped to be able to communicate and make connection with someone. You know, I think that's another part of it as well, especially when it comes to domestic abuse and domestic violence. The vast majority of the time, and I was actually in an extremely abusive relationship quite some time ago, but the vast majority of people, and statistics show this, that are in domestic violence situations, they've experienced some level of abuse in childhood or young adulthood. They've seen it. They've witnessed it. You know, even in my own life and my family, my parents' relationship was not perfect. It definitely had some issues and some things that affected me and affected me into adulthood, even though I knew that they loved each other and cared about one another. So I think that's another element of it as well. We have to be kinder to the children within, because a lot of times if you're fighting for love and attention, it's not the adult inside of you that's fighting for that. It's the little girl or the little boy inside that never got that. And I think that that's what it is. I've noticed it with so many people that we get mixed messages about what love is and about what our worth is. And sometimes we think, well, if I buy you something, if I do something, if I do this, then I'm good and you should love me. Not understanding that love just is. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to get it. It just is. And if you're keeping scores, just like what you said, Maya, that's a manipulation. You know, it's interesting because when you mentioned the client and the man and the situation they were going through, one of the things that I also see is that picking up on that manipulation. And that was starting to make him feel very uncomfortable. It was starting to make him feel caged in. It was starting to make him feel abused, you know. And so his natural inclination and instinct was to protect himself and sort of move away from that and edge away from that. So I definitely think it's important, you know, as well, certainly as spiritual advisors, we can help people to a certain point. But yes, if you are in a domestic violence situation, if you are finding yourself not being able to take no for an answer when someone says, I don't want to do this, then you may want to consider connecting with a counselor, you know, and sitting down and really asking yourself why do I feel that love is equated with all these things I do? Why do I feel I have to do things in order to earn love? Where did I get that message from? I think it's really, really important to explore that. And I think in some cases, explore our childhood and young adulthood, because I know for most people that I've read for, if they have these relationships that are very dysfunctional or maybe abusive on some level, a lot of those imprints started in childhood, and it was never corrected. You know, that's one thing that I've noticed quite a bit.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I believe that, you know, I have strong belief systems, and this comes from my guides, and I know that not everyone this will resonate with, and that's okay. But my guides teach me that in addition to our instinctual and ancestral DNA, which even though we don't, just like the domesticated dog, doesn't need to use their, you know, hunting abilities. They don't, because we feed them, we pour out the dog food or get the canned food or what have you. They don't necessarily, that doesn't mean that those are not still existent somewhere in their spiritual or their subconscious. So I believe strongly in spiritual DNA, and that, you know, some people can call that even a curse. And it's not a curse to the point that someone else exerted their free will over yours, but it's basically something that's been passed down. Sometimes it can skip a generation, or it can turn out where, you know, your parents may not have experienced it to the extreme that you found yourself experiencing it, but it definitely exists. In the same respect that if you look at families in other areas, like for example, for those that tend to be successful, high-powered, let's say they're economically blessed, financially blessed, or they come from, you know, their grandparents went to college, their parents went to college, chances are very high that they're going to go to college. Not that in of itself makes us any better than the next person. It's just simply an example that the way that we're raised and that we identify, I mean, yes, that plays a huge part in how we see. And, I mean, when we look at victims, whether it's domestic violence or even if it's just chaos and dysfunction, I mean, it can be things that are relatively menial or would seem unimportant until we're living that life and we're realizing that it's actually very vital to our well-being, and then if we have children, we're passing it on. So, I mean, it can just be the way that we interact, the way that we look at life. Families that are raised to be allowed to express and show their emotions. I mean, all those things all, I think, relate back to love is a journey, and it's a journey of risk and sacrifice. And the way that we take those risks is, first of all, I believe that we have to risk ourselves. We have to be able to empower ourselves to the point that, you know, there's no guarantee. Not that I want to be morbid about things, but, I mean, the truth of the matter is any of us can become ill unexpectedly. We can be involved in a serious auto accident. So even if you have the most, harmonious relationship, and you've been lucky enough to find the partner that, you know, the relationship comes first, you both share equality, you share the same goals, and that there's no guarantee that that person is going to be around, or that you perhaps are going to be around. So I believe that first we have to be willing to see that there's always in life, and really it's true in all things, in career, but most especially in love, there's always an element of risk. And in order to overcome that, I believe that the key to that is to accept that there simply is risk. And that again, I believe it all goes back to our sense of self-worth and identity. If we have developed, however we've gotten there, whether it's been on our own, through our journey, a combination thereof, traditional face-to-face counseling, working with spiritual advisors such as ourselves, when we come to a place where we're fully comfortable with who we are and we have a strong sense of who we are and we know what we want, not who we want, but what mm-hmm. we want, then we're at a place where we're willing to take a risk on ourselves. And in retrospect, that's what I really feel goes on with a lot of people. They're just not able to follow that idea from its mm-hmm. its, you know, beginning to its fruition. And so they get mm-hmm. tangled up in that web along the way and get sidetracked and get turned around. And you brought up a point, too, that I hear a lot of, and it just makes me so sad that people truly feel that way. But that's, you know, when something doesn't work out as planned, that they automatically say, well, I'm not good enough, you know, I must not have been pretty enough, or I must not have been handsome enough, or, you know, I didn't have this. I mean, really, folks, that has nothing to do with it. When someone is not ready, willing, or able to make the commitment or to share your vision of what a relationship needs to be, and that's assuming that you have a fairly realistic, and I believe mm-hmm. that how we define realism and truth is that which we're willing to give should be that which is what we receive. So without being martyrs, of course, or victims, I mean, you know, right. and made a good point, and I liked what you said about that scared that person, that client of mine, and that's exactly what happened, because now that person, which is what I've tried to convey, no one wants to take on that responsibility. So the more that we try to make another person responsible for our well-being and our happiness, the less likely they are to want to be involved in us, because that's too big and that's too scary. And yes, I absolutely 100% agree that we can never completely escape our past, in the sense that, you know, that wasn't really a good way of putting it. We're always going to have our past and what we saw growing up, because that, I mean, it's just like if we never see a giraffe, we don't know what they look like. And then when we do, we say, okay, that's a giraffe, and we study, and they have long necks, and they eat off the high branches of trees. Well, as we're growing up, whatever we see until we are taught or we know otherwise, whatever we, you know, we're exposed to, that is what we are going to take in and develop in those formative years, which is developmental psychology, and it goes to our emotional and spiritual self. That's what we're going to embrace as normal. And unfortunately and sadly, it's often not until we start to become involved in our own adult relationships that we begin to realize, maybe that was not so normal, because here I am repeating this cycle or this pattern, and things are not good at all. And, Nicole, I just wanted to say my heart really goes out to you and your experience, and I thank you for sharing that. And I am so glad to know that whatever you did to extricate yourself from that, I'm just so glad that you found your way, because you deserve so much better, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Really. And I know that those situations, they're not, and I appreciate Candy that being so close to her heart, because it's not easy. I mean, people that don't understand it think, you know, can think from the outside, well, you know, hey, if a guy hits me, I'm going to say, hey, you know, hit the curb, dude. Or, you know, if she hits me, I'm going to say, but let me tell you, it is so much more complicated. And I will say the same is true about a drug and alcohol addiction. It's not something that at one point they may have made that choice, but that pattern is so ingrained in us because of how we grew up and because we lack something deep within and because we're sacrificing in that. In some way, Nicole, when you were going through that experience, what you were doing is you were sacrificing yourself and your well-being and everything to someone, whoever that person was, that was not the kind of sacrifice that needs to be made. Love should be given freely, just like a gift. We don't give a gift and then say, okay, well, you know, like if you've ever had, especially with the holidays, have you ever had someone give you a gift and then it's like they're standing there watching every movement you make and you get to the point where you don't even want to open it because I've had this happen where I'm like, okay, well, they obviously are expecting a big giant explosion from me. And I mean, you should give a gift and it should be given of love. And that what you said about love, I think is true. Love is just that. It's love. It's loving you for who you are. And then the relationship, you know, comes in, and that's something that we work together on. So, I mean, we're almost out of time. I really feel we do need to come back next week because I know there's a lot more. And I apologize again. It just happened that something came up that I had to take care of, and it ended up we just had some problems, which sometimes happens once the show starts, getting back into the room. So I really didn't mean to be away for so long, but I definitely would like to see us come back and finish up. But I think that pretty much I'm done. I want to stress again that if you feel, anyone out there, I don't care if you're elder, if you're male, if you're female, what your partner is, if they're male or female, or they're in between, if you feel in danger or, you know, if you're physically being abused or even emotional abuse, or you in any way feel afraid or anxious, please, please, please seek help. There are so many. 50 years ago, we did not have the resources available to people. I live in Arkansas, and although I live in Northwest Arkansas, which is a very different part, I still live in a state that still has, and believe me, I'm one of them, so I'm not being offensive in any way, but I do live in a hillbilly state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do tend to have that mentality where, you know, I mean, you smack your kids in Walmart and you bring them in there in diapers, and I don't know. I mean, I live in Walmart headquarters, and a lot of us have probably seen the pictures, you know, the people of Walmart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so the mentality or the collective, I guess you would say, energy here, I find in the lower part of the state more so when I travel, to be a little shocking, actually, in the fact that there's still that little predominant view that towards women being, you know, being able to be pushed around, so to speak, and I'm very, very much against that. So I really hope that anyone that feels threatened will seek help. There are so many resources, so many counties, so many shelters, so many organizations that will get you safe immediately. And trust me, starting over is nothing compared to living the way that you've been living. And I'm sure Nicole knows that better than anyone. So with that, I wanna say God bless everyone. And I look forward to us getting deeper into this next week. And with that, I'll go ahead and say good evening to all and turn it to Nicole.
Well, thank you, Maya, very much. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the Domestic Abuse Confidential Hotline one more time. So that number is 1-800-799-7233. Once again, that is 1-800-799-7233. And the final thing that I want to leave people with that was coming through as we were talking is that just try to remember that all relationships and experiences are for our spiritual growth. They're not necessarily to make us comfortable. So certain situations are for a season and a moment in life. Certain situations are for a lifetime. And sometimes the pain and confusion comes in when we try to take a season and stretch it out into a lifetime. So just pay attention to who comes into your life. Pay attention to who leaves your life. And if someone wants to go, let them go. The final thing that I really like that you said, Maya, was it's not about who we want, it's about what we want. And to add to that, I would say, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? I think that's the most important thing. So I will leave you with that, and I will turn it over to Natalie.
Thank you, ladies. It can make me cry. Candy, our Candy, was a victim of domestic abuse. And she's a great advocate for this. And if you want to reach her, you can reach her on Facebook. She'll be able to help you and guide you. And I want to say something. You know, I had a husband that was seriously ill, and he ended up being very abusive. However, he had a very violent temper when he was well. And after he passed, I did contact somebody, and she said, we have to find out why you chose such a strong man who overpowered you, who was so strong. He was strong, really strong. I mean, he was a fighter. And who knows? I don't know. I never went to her, but it was something that I had to mention. But please contact Priestess Candy Ranson, or you can contact me, starscast@aol.com, and I'll lead you to her. She'd be happy to help you. And she wrote something here. She says, are you aware the state of South Carolina has the highest number of women murdered by their domestic partners in the country? And the disturbances happen the most in December. So please, anybody listening and who listens after the show, please call the hotline number or contact me. You can contact me at support from the site that starts with a Z, psychics.com. And I'm so happy we're doing this again. This is going to be so important. And I'm going to leave you with the number again, 1-800-799-7233. I love you guys very much. And I didn't have to talk very much, and it's probably a good thing. But anyways, we'll see everybody next week. We had a lot of people listening in on my dashboard, I'm happy to say, and people were in the room. So this is a great topic, and we'll see everybody next week. I love you guys. Thank you, Candy. Love you, Maya, and love you, Nicole. With that, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.